Hey, and welcome again to Parent Talk hashtag with Bev. I am a Black British mother of West Indian descent with two young adults based in London, UK. Not an expert of any kind, just sharing my thoughts, opinions, and experiences around parenting in the hope it helps another parent or someone somewhere. So, the hashtag, as you all know, if you've been listening, is Parent Talk hashtag, and we discuss or reflect. Oh, hold on, there's a delivery. Yeah, back again. If I can remember where I was. But the hashtag means that we reflect on different things. So today is about preparing again for university. But as I say, this time it's my youngest who's going off to university in less than 11 days. So I recorded another podcast ages ago when my eldest went to university. So I suggest that you dig into my archives and pull that up and see what I was saying back then, if anything's really changed. And, you know, I'm really helping y'all out because I was going to do one podcast, which would have been over an hour, but I've broken this into two. So this is podcast number one. And what I've decided to do is just focus on, you know, why we as parents need to be present in when our children are choosing their degree and also accommodation. And part two will focus on student finance, opening student bank accounts or having bank account, multiple bank accounts. And I will also be talk in part two about jobs, student union, registration with doctors and some tips that we can use to support our children. But that's in part two. Now you're on part one and we're focused on degree choice and accommodation. So if this is for you, you're in the right place. This information might help you if your children are in the second year of their A-levels, about to start the second year of their A-levels. And also if you're interested in what the path or might look like, I'm hoping this will be helpful. So as I say, let's begin. Let's get comfortable. I got my sarsaparilla. And remember, you can take notes if you want to. But look, whatever I say, you need to follow it up. You need to check it out for yourselves and ask questions. You can ask questions of people at the school. You can ask questions of parents whose children are off to university. You can ask questions of graduates already if you're in that space. Or you can email me at parenttalkwithbev@gmail.com. That's all one word. But why have I decided to do a podcast on this, considering I've got one in the archives? Well, I've been asked to talk at a private event later on, and I just wanted to leave something here for parents or young people who might need some time to absorb some of the things I've said. You know what it's like. You get 20 minutes to talk and then you forget everything that you felt like you needed that was important that you should have said. So hence why I'm doing these podcasts. I obviously cannot cover everything. So make sure you read the university websites and most of all, ask your questions. The only stupid question is the one that you don't ask. And remember, this is all from my perspective and experience. So listen up. You may need a notepad or a little scrap of paper to jot down a few things that you can follow up and research later. That's all up to you. But if not, then it's a nice little chat anyway. So here we go. I think one thing to note is that statistics show that the most vital year for students is their first year, because a lot of students drop out between year one and year two. Forget, you know, the fact that we've been through a pandemic and a huge amount of students dropped out for various reasons and for mental well-being, you know, being a key one. But recent statistics indicate that a huge proportion of students dropped out during that time. So knowing this made me want to focus on making sure that the first year my children were in university, that it was more manageable. They're already going to have their own fears. And I think, you know, me being aware of those things might have helped them to cope a little bit more. So as I say, you'll have to listen to earlier podcasts to understand how significant this journey has been for my daughters, especially my eldest, because I think actually I've become a little bit lazier because, or should I say I'm a bit more laid back, but because I've had one go through and she's successfully completed and now the baby's going. And so you kind of feel like, oh, well, I've already done this, but actually I still need to be present. So as I say, we're going to focus on degree selection and accommodation only in this podcast. And if you want the finance, bank accounts, tips, that's in part two. Now, although this is aimed at parents who are considering university for their children or have aspirations, it might speak also to young people who are about to embark on this journey themselves. And I know university is not for all. You know, there are other options like apprenticeship, or you can get a job where they will pay for your studies. The employer will pay for your studies. You know, some of our children may just want to start up their own thing and be entrepreneurs, and that's fine. I also know some parents who have themselves been studying for their degrees while working and raising their children. So I can only speak of my own experience here. So hopefully some parents who listen may want to come and share their experience on this platform so that we can all learn together. So look in the description box, you know, parenttalkwithbev@gmail.com. That'll help. So, as I say, I have spoken about this before, especially as my youngest started university 3 years ago, but she's now graduated. And two of those years was during the pandemic. And she managed to not only, you know, stay the course, but she finished well with focus and determination. And she came out with a first. And yes, I got boast about that because Pitney worked hard for her degree and she done it through a pandemic. And, you know, some of her peers dropped out. They couldn't do it. They couldn't continue. Some deferred and then they'll pick it up again this year. But, you know, I've got to give praise and encouragement where it's due. So the degree. So we should discuss, as parents, the degree choices with our children. And what do I mean by that? Well, with my mother, she was just glad that I was doing a degree. And I did a degree when I was 27. So I was a mature, what they call mature student. And all my mother cared about at the time was that she could boast to her friends, "My daughter, Ghana University." And I was left alone to look at what the degree that I'd chosen, what the how they were going to assess it, what were the exams that I might have to take, what the topics that I might have covered. And I was expected to do the same units in the first year and some in the second year, and then choose from a list of options of subjects that they already had on offer. But the problem was I had already accepted the place and so felt I had to choose from a bad bunch of subjects that were already outlined. When my eldest was choosing her degree, we looked at the areas being covered and the subjects, the choices offered before even accepting a place. So she had a better overview of things. And, you know, she could look at the course to see how it was going to be assessed, whether it was through exams or dissertations. She knew her learning style, what she preferred from what she didn't prefer. You know, a dissertation is like a long essay ranging from like 2,500 to 10,000 words. And you have to include referencing and sources used in your argument or your essay. And you need a bibliography as well. So you need to list all the people that you're quoting, the year, the page. That's a whole heap of things, a whole heap of work. But if you're the kind of student who just does well in exams, then you'll want a degree where you're mainly assessed through exams. If you're somebody who's not and you want a bit, you want dissertations or you want coursework, then you need to look at the degree that you're choosing. You can still have the same subject, you know, but each university will do it in a different way, or most, you know, they will do it in different ways. And you need to know how you like to learn. So I learned from my experience where I had limited choice and I had to sort that out and make the best of. And I enjoyed my degree, don't get me wrong. I was a mature student. I'd made sacrifices to be there. These are things that my 18-year-old might not have been thinking about. And so to discuss her degree with her and the pros and cons of how it was assessed, what subjects, topics they were offering, were these things that she was interested in? And if they weren't, what's the point of going there? Because you can't change it. This is what they were offering. So she was able to make a bit more of an informed choice. But, you know, there are stories around that as well, which I'll leave for another day. But we knew that she was good with exam questions and had a good enough craft of doing essays. However, if your child doesn't, as I say, you're going to have to discover, because if your child doesn't do well in essays and crafting their arguments, then it helps you to decide where you're going to spend your money on tutoring, because we're all spending money on tutoring. But at least if you know that they need extra lessons for certain things, when you go to parent evening, you can ask the right questions. How is my child doing in her essay writing and arguments? Is there an area that she needs to focus on more to improve what she's doing already? This helps you to spend your money more wisely. But, you know, that's only my opinion, okay? Because I got limited money and I want to make sure that I use it in a certain way. One of the things that parents can do, you know, you can check your children's confidence levels. And, you know, as I say, my eldest, in her final year, she gave me her dissertation, which was How Much Tolls on Words. And to be truthful, you know, you create a rod for your back, innit? Yes, I read it. Some of the arguments were way over my head. But what I could see was some minor spelling errors. And I had a couple of questions to ask her about things I didn't understand of the essay that she had written for her final submission. And she said that this helped her because she overlooked those things. I think she was just being nice. So anyway, I just checked that I did the same thing with my youngest, because my memory can't hold 3 years information, let alone last week's. But my youngest got accepted to university in 2021, but she decided to defer. So I had to check again that what I just said to you was true. Did we look at the degree? Did we check how it was going to be assessed? Did we look at the subjects and, you know, the topics that they were covering and if this was of interest to her? And I just thank God that we did and that we had done the work. Do you know what I mean? Because it means I don't have to panic and do it all over again. You know, my youngest has opted to do psychology degree because she's more science-based than humanities. And whilst I might align myself with more humanity subjects, you know, my daughter relates to the science better. So all I can tell you is I've got learning to do for this next coming year or two or three. So moving on to accommodation. And if you've got questions about degrees, you know, definitely, you know, contact admissions and ask them about the degree. You can ask the school careers if they're any good, if they're helpful. Some are, you know, you find different help in different ways. And, you know, sometimes people who've already done a degree, if you can get access to people who've already done the degree, then they can encourage you. But it means you're going to have to ask questions, isn't it? So that's all I can say. So accommodation. This might be a bit all over the place, but I hope you can follow. So we looked at accommodation virtually until I could get to visit the city. Not everyone can visit, especially if the place is far, but each to their own. Yeah. But virtually means we were online. So we went on the student website. They have accommodation. They have virtual tours of these accommodations. We made notes on the cost and the length of tenancies. Some do a 38-week tenancy, while others do 40 weeks. Some want you to move out during the holidays so that they can sublet the place. Others allow you to stay during the holidays. Some were halls of residence where the world and their mother would live. Some have mixed gender floors. Some have single sex floors. And some have mixture of everybody. And a floor can be dedicated to one gender group, as we found out when my eldest went to her university and we moved into a room, only to find out that all the other rooms were just male only, that whole floor, and they had made a mistake, and we had to move her. Okay, although I wasn't too bothered, but they were bothered. The men, they didn't want a woman on that floor. Now, some accommodation will be self-contained.
Boy, I got cut off in my prime.
So let me get back to that spot. Some accommodation will have self-contained units within the halls. And that means that you'll have a room with a bathroom or toilet or both, right? Shower and toilet. Inside your room and outside of your room, you can share the kitchen and living area with others. Whereas some halls of residence will have just a room, and then you'll have to share the shower, the bathroom, the living room, the kitchen with a group of maybe, I think they might have like six rooms on a floor, and six people will share bathroom, toilet, and kitchen and living room. You can just hear the excitement in my voice. But it's good to have to look at these things and have a conversation with our young people. My eldest, the deal breaker for her was sharing a bathroom. Even living with others, she didn't want to do. However, as her mother, I knew that this amount of isolation would not be good for her. So I persuaded her to live in halls of residence where she could have access to others, but also have a room of her own and her own shower and toilet as a compromise. And it was a compromise because we had to pay for that. Something to be aware of, I was asked to be her guarantee for accommodation. And I think this was more with the second place she lived at. And this simply meant if she didn't pay her rent, then I was liable to pay it. You best believe we talked over that decision and its implications. Because, you know, with the best will in the world, if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. So they really do. You really need to have that conversation with them about how they're going to secure the bag, how they're going to secure the money to be able to pay for it so that it doesn't become a liability for me back here in London. But, you know, in the halls of residence, right, you can either do self-catering or have food included. And when I say food included, it's like they have a massive area where they provide food for you, such as breakfast, lunch and dinners. But this is more expensive. It's an expensive option. They also have something like food cards that will allow you to get food provided, provided by using this card as a payment, which you just top up. So my eldest, she chose self-catering, self-contained shower and toilet, but would live with others. That's my eldest. And she did the first year in halls of residence, which took a chunk out of her finances. Her second year, she found a house that she shared with five others, which took a moderate amount of money from her budget. And final year, she went into another hall or residential where she shared with two others only. And they had a floor to themselves and they shared kitchen and living room space. Each had self-contained rooms with shower and toilet. And you know how much they paid for that a week? £97 a week. I mean, you can't get that in London. If you get that in London, you got someone's front yard. You know, I mean, £97. When she told me £97 all inclusive, I was like, I want to be a student. I want that lack of responsibility. Let me just pay you the £97. And that's Wi-Fi. That's gas. That's electricity. That's the space. That's heating. That's TV. I was like, oh my gosh. And she found that for herself and it saved her quite a lot of money. And I was glad she was thinking like that. But the reality is, parents, we need to encourage our kids to check around, look around. You know, it's good to check. It's good to shop around. And also within cities that are universities are placed, there's a lot of private places to rent that may have better deals. Usually the bills are included in the rent. And if you don't have time or money to go search with them, then talk about how you're going to support them. You know, my eldest in her final year did this. She looked for accommodation on her own and she took me along via FaceTime or WhatsApp video to see some of the places she visited. And this was easier because she was already living in the area. In the second year, Google Map was my friend and I did a recce of the area using Street View. When I moved her in, we did a walk through the area where I could take note of the local shops and she did, how people hung out in the area and the prices of food in the local shops. We looked at bus routes to get to the university campus. We didn't think another lockdown would come, and that impacted her while she was living in this house, which five others were meant to be in, but she ended up being the only one in this big house. So it was really important for me to keep in contact with her. My youngest, on the other hand, her chest is what we call high. She have high chest because she wants the modern places with the lush and attractive stuff, you know, looks newly painted, newly decorated. You know what them new houses look like? They look like, well, this is my opinion, they look lovely because they're show houses, but if you lean too hard on the wall, something going drop. But that's what she liked, that's what she knows, right? Young people nowadays, instant gratification, but they cost so much more. And so with her, we had to whittle down and have some real talking, because how are you going to want to have a bike rank that you're going to end up paying for anyway when you don't even cycle? It don't make no sense. Oh, mum, they've got bike site. I said, yeah, they've got bike ranks. And what? All universities have that. So what? You want to pay for that? Is that needed? Why? Oh, student living area is fantastic. I said, great, it is. That's great. But how often are you going to be in there? You know, come on, what's the priority for you? You know, laundry, believe it or not, is not free. You can come home and throw your things in and you think that's free because I'm paying the bills. But when you're at university, I thought that was free. They're showing me, this is our laundry room and dryer. And I'm like, oh, great, that's thrown in as well. No, it's not. You have to pay for it. And that comes out of your weekly budget. So then there were things like she was talking about the study area looked lush. I was like, the library's lush. You can study in the library. How many of you are really going to study? Ugh, anyway, look, we could have gone on. You know, I was just like, what is your wish list? What do you absolutely have? What is your priority? And what does our money, what, where does, how far does your money stretch for that? Yeah. And I know I might have to contribute if needed, but how much is that? How much of that do I have to contribute? You know what I mean? Come on, people. It's basic, you know? Living at home, you've got used to a certain level of living. You don't have to worry about a lot of things because your mum takes care of that, right? But you're now going to go out into the world of student. And although it's not, it's a bridge between you taking responsibility. But anyway, so accommodation. We knew that she would have to choose her preference ranking from, I think, 1 to 6 or 9. So we spent time looking at the university places and also private landlords, what they offered. And it helped to build up a picture. And as said earlier, a problem was that I didn't know the city. So that they're going to, that I didn't know. And I don't know where the city my daughter's going to. Yeah, I've been there a couple of times, but driving around in a car and actually being on the streets and looking at shops in person, just two different things. Yes, and I've looked on Google Map and, you know, talked to other people about the area. I think one day we went up there for a recce, and I accosted a student walking into one of the accommodations that we could not get in to look at. And I was asking her, you know, are you a first year, second year? What's it like in this place? What's it like in this town? You know, talk to my daughter, because she's not talking to nobody. I'm the one approaching people and talking to them. And then what do they do nowadays, young people? Oh, what's it? They don't even swap phone numbers. It's social media account. Oh, where are you on Instagram? I'll follow you on Instagram. Snapchat. I was like, oh my gosh. As long as I could put you in touch with somebody who's there, whether right or, well, when I say right or wrong, you know, you get a sense. It was a young girl like my daughter's age. You know what I mean? I'm not going to set her up with people that I'm worried about. Plus, if I was really worried, I would keep an eye on the messaging and say to her from time to time, have you contacted that person that we blah, blah, blah? What are they like? What do you think? She said she didn't really check for her, so she stopped talking to her. Look, you can lead a horse to water. You can't force it to drink. So as I say, you know, I used Google and I looked around the campus and I looked at where the local shops were, like Tesco, Costco, Asda, Lidl. Well, I call it Lidl, and all the other sort of bargain shops that were around. I looked at bus routes. As I say, it's a lot of work. Students are sent a deadline when they need to choose their accommodation by. So last year, my youngest did this as lastminute.com without any research. And I would say that that's not a good idea, because I thought she would be locked into her decision. And we can only change things. We can always change things, but it is a hassle. So if you can do your research, it might help you feel less anxious. I'm still feeling uneasy, because although I know the accommodation she's going to be in and that she's been allocated to, we do not know the actual room and what that will look like. So our plan, we have, the university have contacted us and told us that we have a move-in date and a move-in slot. And so we've chosen the slot, and on that day, all will be revealed as to whether or not we like the room. And if I'm not happy, I will discuss it with them when I'm on site, just like I did with my eldest. With my eldest, when we went to her university, we had to move 3 times in one day. And I can't tell you, I can't recall whether or not I actually recorded a podcast about that, because I don't really want to repeat myself. But I think strongly, if as a parent, you can take your child on the first day when they're moving into their accommodation and move them in, it'll give you more peace of mind. And I know that it's a sacrifice. Some of us had to, like me, take a day off work, but it was important. And I was glad that I'd done it. And I'm glad that I'm going to be doing it again in the next few days. One thing I know for sure is that living with family is one thing. You know, my mum may or may not have been, given me every food item that I wanted in the house, but you could always wander down into our kitchen and raid the fridge, just like my children can now. But when you're living with others, you may encounter them raiding your food. So you're going to have to think about how you're going to deal with that. I know that they allocate you cupboard space, but people are people and food can go missing. Yeah. So this will be interesting. Now, some places will have cutlery, pots, plates, etc. They'll have that already, so there's no need to buy again. But if you have spare stuff at home, then I suggest you give it to them. It's all about saving money. My daughter had a single bed at home, but at uni, she had what they call queen size, which is between a single and double. So I had to buy a double duvet and cover set. I bought two of them. One on bed, one wash. When the other one needed to be washed, you put the other one on the bed. You don't need no more than that. She carried pots and pans, plates, and her favorite mugs. Some things I just had to bring back home. That was with my eldest. You know, space savers, they're brilliant because you can suck up all them bulky clothes and duvets, and it helps to move things a little bit more manageable. It's a bit more manageable. I think I bought, I bought her an iron, but they had one there. So I ended up bringing that back. Have I bought another iron for my other daughter? I think I have. You know what I'm saying? Memory is bad. I don't know if she's going to have one there. If she does, then I suppose I will be bringing that back too. You must be cracking up right now because, you know, at the end of the day, some of the other things that we bought there, I bought a safe. I know, don't laugh at me too loud. With my first daughter, so paranoid, we bought one of them like portable safes, like a square box. You can add your own number and secure your items in there. I didn't know what she was going to. Yeah, I thought, you know, doors are open, people come and go as they please. So, she took a safe with her. Now, am I glad that she did? Yeah, because she put her bank, she put her cards there that she didn't need. She put her passport and other important documentation that she needed. She was able to have them in a safe and secure place. Many times when the young people are going out to the local clubs, they are asked for some form of ID. Now, I told her, photocopy your passport and take the photocopy with you instead of the real thing. Now they just photocopy stuff on they take photos on their phone. They're all right. But sometimes they want actual ID. So I invested in getting my daughter a provisional driver's license. She ain't never taken a lesson, but it's a photo ID that I must have paid £20 for, and it served its purpose. All right, don't have to carry the passport around. She's got a photo ID. It's a provisional license. They accept it. When my eldest went to university, I bought loads of stuff because I didn't know any better. When she actually moved in and we saw what was actually needed, you know, that's the reality. So she needed a toilet brush holder. She needed toilet paper, toothbrush holder, and a bathroom mat. These were things we hadn't even thought of. When I told my youngest that she could just take the stuff her sister had brought home, she turned her nose up, said she didn't want old stuff, she wanted new. So I told her, buy new with the money that you're making from your part-time job, since your chest is high. But, you know, as we move closer to the date and she realizes that her money is less and less, oh yeah, I'll take the towels from home. Oh, yeah. Have we got a spare flannel? Yes, we have. Have we got toothbrushes? Yes, we have. Have we got the tooth holder that Rochelle brought back? Yes, we do. Are you going to take that? Yeah, I will. Oh, okay, great. What about the pots and pans that, because, she goes, oh, I've got some of the ones that you've got me already throughout the year, Mum. I said, yeah, but, you're going to take some. Yeah, I'll take that. Oh, and I'll take the grater from home. These are all things that she was talking about that she was going to spend money on. Let me tell you something. Reality kick in. And the reality is, right, that they're coming home for the holidays. So you can always top up things. But remember, what you take with you, you will have to bring back at some point at the end of your first year, your second, and your final year. So, think wise, be wise. So finally, moving in. Moving them in settles me, settles you, settles them. Take time out. I said it already. And I think it feeds me more as a mother because I was not able to take, my mother was not able to take me to school or collect me. This is years and years ago. And I recall some parent meetings, but she wasn't really as supportive. She was a little bit more critical because she didn't know the system. Yes, she sent me on school trips so that I didn't miss out, but I could not recall my mother coming to see me off or collecting me. Now, although I've come to terms with that, and I understand that my mother did not know any better, and also she was working. Yeah, she was working to provide for me. I can understand all that. As an adult, back when I was a kid, younger, I didn't, right? But I suppose me stressing that we take time and be present comes from that space of missing my mother being present when I could see other people's mothers and fathers sometimes being present for their kids. Just even if you're just standing up there, you're there. Oh, mom, or dad, or auntie, or uncle, it's really a nice feeling to know that you've been sent off and we're here as a family for you, and if it's using FaceTime or WhatsApp video so that people can, see where you've moved in and, know what's missing and be like, oh yeah, we see that. We know what you need. Oh, it's great that you're there. We wish you the best of luck. I can't tell you the people who have been so gracious and giving to my children. And especially when Rochelle was away, people would just send her money without prompt. Just to give her a little boost and a little extra. Our extended networks mean a lot to us, but it also to our children, even though they're running away from it. So my mum and I, we've spoken about it and we're fine. We've already discussed it. It's not an issue for us anymore because we've talked it out. But I just think that if you're able, and please don't take this as me beating you. I'm not beating you with a rod. I'm just saying my children, when my eldest graduated, she was like, oh, I'm not going to take the picture, the graduation picture. It costs too much. And I just said to her, we're not going to pass this way again. This is your first time of completing a degree, your first time wearing a gown, the likelihood of you experiencing this as a first, it's not going to happen again. So we might as well pay the £37 or £40 for the picture, which will last a long time if you take care of it, and it will mark the journey that you've made and to celebrate it. Yes, everybody wants picture to send to everyone, but it's not about everybody else. It's about the fact that you've marked this. And I think the opportunity to be with my daughter, my youngest, when she starts her journey of going to do her degree, and all the things that I've tried to support her in up to this point. Yes, Bella, I'm sure they can hear you. I won't get the opportunity to do this again. I won't pass this way again. This opportunity won't be the same for, you know, it, you know, for Jade. That's my youngest daughter. She deserves me to be present, just like I was present for the eldest child. This child is the same. And I can't say that it'll happen again. This is it. So I'm going to be present. And if you're able to do that, however you do it, because remember, we're all different, right? But however you do it, let them be know that you're supporting them and you're present for them. Don't just leave them to wander. They're going to be in a new environment where they're going to feel insecure, fear. Some of them will feel inferior to others. Some of them will feel that they're invincible and they don't put any work in. And then later down the line, they start to crumble. And we're the ones that they're still going to come running back to. All right. So might as well have our arms stretched out in support and welcome, as well as stretched out and say goodbye. Yeah. So anyway, I've spoken long enough. I hope that some of this information has proved useful. Remember, this is part one of the discussion. If you want to know more about the finance, bank accounts, and the 8 tips that I have learned from my daughter's journey at university, you'll have to listen to podcast number 2. Remember to like, share, comment, share it with your friends who might, you know, benefit. Because they're in different places. I just hope it's helpful. And if you have any questions that you have been shouting at me as you've been listening to this and I haven't answered, then, you know, reach out, parenttalkwithbev, all one word, @gmail.com, and I'll read them out in the next podcast and try and answer them, or bring somebody here who can answer them better than me. Anyway, thanks for listening. Wishing you and your loved ones daily blessing. Remain safe. Till next time, I am out.